Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello! How are we? Oh, give me a cheer if you're having a drink. Oh, Wednesday night in Guernsey. It's good to see you.
You are quick on the draw. You're already down. I'm like, I gotta just slowly go down. Hello, Guernsey! You sexy Sarnian motherfuckers. It is so great to be here. This is actually my third time in Guernsey. Yeah, I did a bit of stand-up here ages and ages ago, and I thought I'd be all, for the listeners and for Hannah, the Latin word for the island was Sarnia, right? And that's why you call yourselves Sarnians, which is awesome. But I remember being here, and I called you all Sarnies. And it's just so hack and lame, because just leave it to a fucking American to call somebody a food. Like, good evening sandwiches. Ich bin ein Berliner. You know, we're all the same. We're all the same.
It is my first time on Guernsey. Very excited.
Welcome, Hannah George.
Thank you. I'm from the Isle of Wight. Do we have a rivalry? I'm thinking of starting one tonight, so let's see. It's so nice that I was talking to Maisie earlier, and she said that it's so safe here that she leaves her car unlocked. So I have stolen her car.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Sold the parts already to Sark. You think they're a peaceful sort. They're really not. There's a whole underground criminal wave going there.
In terms of car parts, Sark is fucking pointless, right? I know that much. I know that much.
That was the joke.
I'm sometimes not sure because of her accent. So.
I'm not sure sometimes either. This is the first time we've done a gig for Drunk Women Solving Crime where we took a real plane.
Yes!
Yes. Was it a real plane, though? It was called Irony Airlines. I think it might have been a Fisher-Price toy. What I'm getting at is I'm on Valium right now. I'm heavily sedated. Anything could happen. Now, Guernsey, I don't want to talk down to you, but do you know what a podcast is? It's okay. My mother asks every time I call home. She's like, how's your career going? Are you still doing that thing? Listen, I know most of you are like, oh, I feel very patronized. She's about to explain what a podcast is, but I can see the fear in some of your eyes, and you're like, thank God, because I do not know what we've come to tonight. Podcasting has gotten very popular, and it's just like the radio. It's like the radio, except you can choose when you listen to it. And we can swear.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
And we will. So we're Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are a true crime comedy podcast. I know, we don't get why it works either. We're just going with it. We just go where we're invited. But I would like to introduce my sidekick here, formerly the Isle of Wighter, that is Hannah George.
Hello! Oh, it is a pleasure to be here. We went to your castle today. We went to the castle, and like, it's closed, but they just let us
they
in.
They let us in.
Which is the opposite of what a castle should do, right?
Not a good fortress. They could have shot that cannon right at us, but it wasn't noon.
Do you know, I asked the man, I said, like, can I shoot the cannon tomorrow at like 12? Could I do it? And do you know what he said? No, immediately.
Said
immediately.
No. But yeah, we had a private castle tour. Like, who gets to do that?
Give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast.
Yep.
Great.
Everybody at the front. Hi.
Give us a cheer if you're like, who are these women?
Yay.
Welcome. It gets weird, so no, welcome.
It's all right. Yeah, if you feel like you've come to some sort of highbrow Agatha Christie murder mystery, strap up for some dick jokes, Sardians. But there'll be some fun historical facts that I researched, so what could go wrong?
And we should say as well, if you listen to the podcast, you'll notice that we're one down. Normally there's three of us. There's Katie, and she has COVID. So, yeah, so she could not, we would not let her bring it to Guernsey. She wanted to, my God. She was there just at the plane door, but we said no. But the thing is, like, Katie's kind of the classy one, and we are just two dirtbags, so...
That is a podcast. But what is Drunk Women Solving Crime? This is a tradition that we do at the top of every podcast. This is where burglary meets a bushwhacker. This is where arson meets absinthe. And this is where execution meets electric iced tea. It's a true crime podcast with a twist...
Yeah, it's a cult. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And what we should say is those are like crime things mixed with alcohol, but we've done so many episodes now. All of like the main alcohols have gone, so.
I'm sure we've repeated them.
What was that? An electric twist?
An electric iced tea.
Oh.
I think it's Valium mixed with Prosecco. Hi, Mom.
That's what this is.
So what we're going to do is we're going to introduce our guest, and I think you may have seen her before. Please welcome back comedian Angela Barnes. Woo, woo.
Hello.
Hi.
I was back there waiting for you to introduce me, and I realized, because I wear hearing aids, and I couldn't hear a word you were saying. So every time they clapped, I was like, oh, shit, oh, no. So if you did see my head poke out earlier, sorry. I was like, oh, no, that wasn't it.
Oh, we like the suspense. We like the suspense. It should be said that Angela is only the second guest who we've ever had back for a second time.
Yay!
On the podcast.
I'm the only guest who was available a second time.
So
who didn't
true.
Have COVID and was willing to fly. We're very pleased to have you.
I'm so excited.
It's
I love this
great
podcast.
To have you back. You're a great detective. We need a nickname for you by the end of the night because we've been doing this podcast for a few years and these nicknames have kind of morphed. Mine is Detective Asshole, which is self-explanatory. Hannah is Detective Butt Stuff, and we don't know how we got there. The less asked about that, the better.
I worry that one live show I did a dirty protest. I'm not. It is worrying when you have a nickname and you're like, where did that come from? But maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, welcome to my university years. So Angela, we'll have to come up with a nickname for
okay.
you. But as you know, we always kick off the podcast by asking our guest, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Okay, well, as this is my second time on, and the first time I was on, I told you about something so heavy that happened. And as I was telling you the story, I was like, keep it light, Barnes, in my head. So this time I thought, what I'd do, I'd tell you about, so I used to work in a police station. Ooh. When I was 19, I worked in Maidstone Police Station in the canteen right, for a year. And on my last day, I got kidnapped by the police.
Okay.
As a joke.
Right. As a joke? It was a joke.
So what they did, like they used to, I was like 19 working in a police station. I don't know if you know this, but police can be assholes. And they would like wind me up all the time. And one of my jobs in this police station was I had this little trolley with sort of sweets and cakes and stuff on that during the day I would wheel around the police station selling to the people who, like the officers or whatever.
I'm imagining you in Harry Potter right now.
Right.
Are you? Yeah. The Hogwarts Express. We'll take the lot, you little shit. None for anyone. Very Harry Potter specific jokes. There'll be more.
Sorry. I don't know what you're talking about because I am 45. So, as I said to you earlier, Hannah, I mean, this is about the 12th Harry Potter reference you've made of me today. And I did have to say to you, I was already a grown up when she wrote them. So, I don't know, but sure.
Expelling arsehole. That's another Harry Potter joke.
So yeah, I had my little trolley, and on my last day, they had this team that they were called the TAC team, which was a tactical team, and these were the guys in the black jumpsuits who go and do the drugs raids, right? And they were quite, I saw young and fit and in black jumpsuits. And I was wheeling my trolley around, and civilians not allowed in their office, right? Just not allowed. Only police officers allowed in that room. And as I was walking past, I just got grabbed by one of them from behind, right? One of them took the, because it was my last day, they thought it was, and so they took me into this room where civilians are not allowed, handcuffed me to two tables, right? And they had, I've got a Polaroid picture of it. They started taking, like they were putting their hats on me and dressing me, and like taking Polaroids of me. And then one of them went, fuck, it's the super. And they all disappeared. And just left me handcuffed to two tables in a room I was not allowed to be in.
Oh.
As the chief superintendent of Kent Police. Walked into, and I was just there like, I was 19, I really did. But he just walked up to me, just looked at me, went, I do wish you'd leave my boys alone. Like, I am very much the victim of this crime. So I'll have to, when this goes out, I'll, because I've got one of the Polaroids at home, I'll tweet it, because it's me.
Amazing.
And my little uniform, my little sort of navy blue polyester skirt, and my little, with a policeman's hat on my head, handcuffed to two tables.
That is... Yeah. That is full on. And I feel like you were so young. You were definitely the victim of something that was a little bit full on. But as a woman who's been with her husband for 17 years now, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, don't get me wrong. If that happened now, I'd have a very different reaction to it.
Just a little bit of...
When I left Nationwide Building Society, they didn't even get me a fucking cake. If Karen and Sue had like taken me into a room and handcuffed me, that would have been amazing.
I had quite a lot of fun working there. I did, because I was sort of young, and it was, and I used to sort of, when I'd go out in town on a Friday night, it's in Maidstone where I grew up, so it's my year out before university, and I'd go out in town with my friends on a Friday night, and they were always, I remember being at a cash point once, and suddenly there's a handcuff on me. Because they recognised me. And I, and I was like, I was really drunk at this cash point, going, it's my money! And I looked around, I was like, oh, you fucker, it's you.
Oh, were you like tempted to put like some arsenic into their food?
Just a little bit. I had one of the most embarrassing moments I had there. So they had a canteen in the Maidstone Police Station, the canteen, and there was a bar as well. And so they could sort of have a drink after work in a bar.
Wow.
And this was in, when would this been? 96, okay. I think it was.
They have one of those in Downing Street as well, don't they? I'm sure. That's what they've got.
And it was like a Friday evening. So a lot of them had clocked off and they were in the bar. And I'd often, if we had not enough change left in our till, I'd go and get some change from the bar. And I'm so innocent. I just went in across the bar, went to get some change from the bar next door. As I was at the door, the woman behind the bar went, just let us know if you need any more. We've got more. And I went, oh, yeah, we'll get some more because I can't get enough coppers. Don't shout that across a police bar is my advice. I'd never live that down. They went,
oh, my God. God. That's amazing. I'm just really getting off on this, though. I just think it sounds like a great little setup. You're getting married in May. Maybe you could, stage this with Toby.
Literally the first
Toby,
thing...
Toby, you're in here. What do you think?
He's in tonight. he might be. The first thing I thought, though, is that our bed, like, literally, it doesn't have any poles on it. Do you know what I mean?
holes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to handcuff yourself to a bed.
She's a classy gal.
But we've got, like, one of the... We've got, like, this headboard that's, like... It is a bit like soft play because, literally, I would just, like, find it funny when I get into bed at night to just jump straight into bed and land. And I smack my head on the wall so many times that he bought, like, a kind of soft headboard. Anyone would have thought it's us because he's fucking us. No, it's not. It's me jumping.
Is that why he bought it? Hello, or did he hear your nickname and get scared?
Oh, my God. Angela, we usually ask, if you had the perpetrator or perpetrators of this crime here, what would you say to them today? This is a bit of an unusual one.
Oh, God, what would I say to... I'd thank them, actually, because I... Do you know what? Up until I worked in a police station, I thought the police were good guys. And then I worked in a police station for a year and I was like, oh, I'm under no illusion. Because what I learned very quickly was, and I, if there's any police in, I love you. But what I learned quickly, like, they were the guys that you went to school with that became police officers are not the guys that should be police officers. And, you know, it's a bit like politicians. You get, if you want to be one, you shouldn't be one.
Yeah,
I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
So I sort of want to thank them for going, you know, thank you for teaching me to lose my trust. I mean, it's quite a timely time to be talking about all this, isn't it? With current, in, you know, in yeah. London and the Met and everything. You just go, yeah, they're not all good guys. Any police officers listening, most of them are good guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than one bad apple. Because everyone goes, it's just a bad apple. It's like, you know what? If it was just a bad apple, they'd just get sacked. The fact you have to hide it under a rug means there's a fuckload of bad apples. Mm. And, I've turned it serious again. I did that last time, didn't I?
No, we, look, this is the roller coaster we ride because we tackle real topics. And on that note, thank you so much for sharing that, for spicing up my marriage.
I should have kept the hat, then I could have lent it to you.
Oh, it just gets so sad as you get older, doesn't it? Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy.
Taylor's husband doesn't listen to the podcast, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
Maybe you should.
Pick up a few things. I didn't mean to veer into this at all. Oh, dear. On that note, I think it's time for us to solve a true crime case.
Okay.
Okay? So this is the main part of the podcast. I will let you know. I've got the case details here. They have no idea what I'm going to talk about, so I'm going to ask them questions and see how well they do at answering or throwing a dick joke in. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So, this is the case of John Charles Tapner. First question, where do you think this case took place?
Well, I mean, we're on location. It'd be really fucking weird if it took place like on Jersey. That would be dangerous. You're not gonna do that. I mean, if you did that, you'd be a brave lady.
Is it the Isle of Wight?
Oh, honey, no. It is Guernsey. I'm sure some of you may have heard of this case before, but yeah, strap up, Sarnians. Shit just got local. Now, I should say, this is a murder case, not to take yet another serious tone, but there goes our kickback from the tourism board. But it takes us all the way back to 1854. Guernsey was a very, very different place then. A lot of aspects... No, they're like, no, we were
you
there.
Can say that. We can't.
We were there.
There's a vampire in the audience going, mm-mm.
No, but it was horrific. Like, people had to pay corporate tax. Can you imagine? Oh, fuck. Now I'm going to get murdered by Specsavers. What a way to go. I get stabbed to death by discount glasses. This is taking a whole different turn. Now, the case involves the murder of a 74-year-old woman called Elizabeth Saujean. Saujean's place of work was also her residence. So your next question, detectives, is what do you think Saujean did for money?
Well, like, that's literally everyone in the last 2 years. Their place of work has been their residence. Like, she could have done
was
anything.
Was she a marketing consultant?
So when was it, 1850s, did you say?
Yes.
1850s, where she worked is her... So it's either prostitute or seamstress.
I'm or both.
Is like there a difference?
Pocket money?
There is very much a difference, actually. Yeah. Don't get those confused. Put your needle in the wrong place. Valium, I told you. I'm a very bad flyer. I'm on sedatives. So we've got seamstress or prostitute or...
Is she an artist?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? You can do that from home.
It's nice. Very nice. Well, I will tell you, she took in lodgers. That's how she...
Airbnb.
Yeah,
prostitute.
Airbnb every time. Like we said.
I'm just saying that because my dad ran a B&B in Great Yarmouth, but he also ran a sex shop. And let's just say there was some crossover.
So. As there should be. Very nice. That's the welcome basket we're all hoping for. Fuck off with your little shortbreads and tea. Taifu, give me a...
As a British person, no, tea and shortbreads is what I want. I don't want vibrators and butt plugs.
I'm really not like this normally. I don't know what's happening. Something happened in that castle today. Sorry about the fortress. Just set me free. Fly Irony Airlines. And you say we don't know what it is. We've learned because we adapt all your TV shows, so we caught on. Sorry, and this is part of the podcast, and now I'm going to segue into a very serious sentence. She, Elizabeth Saint-Jean, was found dead in her home on the 18th of October, 1853. I love that you looked surprised, even though I already said it's a murder case. Hannah was like, oh my God.
Also, no. for a podcast. It's for...
Miming.
And also, Hannah, I mean, it's now 2022. It'd be weird if she was still alive.
This is the very worst type of murder case where someone was murdered. So as far as we know, none of her lodgers were home at the time. Saint-Jean had been knocked unconscious by a heavy object. But it was thought that the cause of death was something else. What do you think that might have been?
Was she hit by the cannon I wanted to do?
And that's why you can't do it, Hannah.
So they think she was hit by something, but...
She was hit by something.
She was.
And knocked unconscious, but they think the cause of death was something else.
Oh, okay. So after being knocked... Okay, so maybe... I mean, it just feels grim, doesn't it? No, was she just tickled to death?
Did she, jump onto a bed head first and smash her head against a wall? Because, intelligent women do that.
I love that you had to pad your headboard for that reason. That is just... I'm going to take that with me. Oh, dear. It was smoke inhalation because the building had been set on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that was a terrible time to burp. There was no sign of forced entry into the house, and there was only one suspect in the case, John Charles Tapner. Do we have any Tapners in? No, it was worth a shot, just for a bit of history. John Charles Tapner had moved to Guernsey from London to work for moonpig.com. No, he had worked as a clerk with the Royal Engineers in Fort George. We got some Fort Georgers in. Woo woo! I don't know what that means, but good for you. That's great.
It's the fort I have here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, my name is Hannah George. That's literally. Okay.
He seemed, by all accounts, a respectable man. He was married. He had three children. He had that moon pig pension that he was building up. But he had a secret. Next question. What do you think that secret might have been?
So he's married, did you say, with children?
Married with three children.
So was she his mistress?
Ooh. Okay.
Was that his secret?
Was Saint-Jean perhaps his mistress.
Okay. Or was he meeting his mistress in her house?
Okay. Ooh. Wow, you guys have done this before.
Yes. Cheat on our husbands, yes. So much. My husband doesn't listen either. He's actually here, but he's not my husband yet. But anyway.
I mean,
we are engaged and getting married in a few months. That's not me and Mike. Pop the question, baby.
Boy, you have just ruined the whole kidnapping fantasy. It's out the window now. It's never going to work. The secret was that, yeah, he was leading a double life, basically. He had a mistress and another child.
Yeah. I always think that with these cases, like, it's only fucking men that can have two families. Yeah. Like, women do so much that they can't.
Because why would you have a mister on the side? Is that the equivalent? Like... She had a mister, and what, you would never make more children. Like, yeah. Whoops, oh, hooray.
I'm always astounded by, like, the admin of it. Just yeah. having a whole, I'd be calling the wrong one the wrong name and getting the kids' names wrong. And the,
yeah.
Because there is, I want to say his name.
How do you file the tax returns? Is it joint? Is it not?
There's a comedian, isn't it, who was quite a well-known circuit comedian who had two families. Because before the internet, he was on the road all the time and had a family up north and a family...
Listen, just like the murder confession, you can tell us and we'll cut it out. Nobody will say. And we all know she can't. You hit on the other point, which is, what does any of this have to do with Elizabeth Saujean? And I will just say... The mistress was staying as one of her lodgers, and he had put her there and was paying for her to stay there.
She knew too much.
She knew too much, and also the mistress was his wife's sister.
To be fair, you know, like I pointed out earlier, it's harder not to be related.
It's not. I swear, I tried to get an unrelated mistress. You can't get a proper mistress on this island. Well, I don't have sisters. None of us have sisters, right?
No.
So I don't even know. Like, is that bad? Is that frowned upon?
I've got a stepsister, so I'm pretty sure that makes it fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah totally. There was something about the crime scene which further implicated Tapner. What was that? Hint, I've already said it.
Oh, it was a moon pig cut. Death by paper cuts.
Something at the scene, and you've already said it.
So not sperm.
Have I said sperm?
No. Oh, tell it. You've chanted sperm.
I've chanted sperm again, already. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm so very sorry.
Valium.
No, I'm just going through things that
yeah,
you mentioned.
What has
that.
She said? So there's something about. The crime scene that implicated Tapner further than just his connection to the mistress. Okay. Saujean.
So we know there was smoke inhalation.
Yep.
We know...
The building was set on fire. She was hit over the head. We know that her bedroom was ransacked. Did I say that?
No.
Her bedroom was ransacked. Sometimes as a detective, it's what you don't say that matters the most.
Was he trying to murder the sister and she was sort of got in the way?
Ooh,
maybe.
Wow. That's an interesting theory.
We're not real detectives, isn't it weird?
The Met has yet to approach us. It's
well, once they listen to this episode, they're not gonna.
Yeah, there was a hate crime in the middle of the episode, Taylor.
I will tell you, it's that there was no forced entry.
Oh, yes, you did say that.
And this was the big argument of the prosecution. Surprise, this goes to trial. No surprise.
Out of interest, sorry to interrupt. Guernsey, I've heard it's safe on Guernsey. Give me a cheer. Like, no, don't give me a cheer because this might be a really stupid question. Do you guys, like, lock your doors? Oh, very split. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so going on a burgling rampage. Yeah.
My gosh, look, everyone out there.
I'll see you later, guys.
I find that fascinating how many of you said no, you don't lock your
door. Well, let's do it as a cheer. Give me a cheer if you lock your door at night. And give me a cheer if you don't. Oh, shit! we shouldn't be telling the world this. Oh, it's not that expensive to fly to Guernsey.
They're not going to make the effort. That's the beauty of this island. And then by the time you get here, you're like, I'm too relaxed to commit a crime. Oh, I just feel so nice. This local crab is too delicious. I had a crab sandwich today. It changed my life. It was so fresh. And like, Hannah is allergic to crab, but I still pulled out this big chunk and I'm like, look at this. Look at what I'm about to put in my mouth. It's just so...
Have you tried... I looked on a Guernsey Facebook page today just to see what was going on. Got me. It was COVID deniers and arguing about something called an orma. I don't know what that is, but they got really heated about it.
What? No, we can't. We don't have time. I can tell that we don't have time, but wow. Wow, wow, wow. Elizabeth didn't know John's real name, so these details were all sort of thrashed out. He went by Mr. Simmer.
Oh.
Simmer.
Simmer. Because he was simmering.
Simmering. It doesn't work, does it?
No.
It just sounds like a weird children's character. Mr. Simmer's on the boil. Little bubbles popping. Okay, it's amazing I haven't sung till now, actually. I've been very restrained. Tapner also had some bad debts, so it's possible that stealing some of Sajon's belongings was a way to pay them off and that he'd possibly burn the house down to destroy any evidence. What are we thinking so far? Do you think they got the right guy? Does he sound guilty to you?
I mean,
you?
I'm not going to lie. He sounds like a wrong'un. I wonder then if he's, you know, if he's, maybe his intention was to ransack Nick's stuff to and then burn the place down, but maybe not to kill her.
Okay.
Maybe she disturbed him.
Okay.
So are you saying perhaps it is that that he was going to maybe call it off of the sister? And that maybe he was going to do that and it was wrong place, wrong time, and someone else was wanting to kill the lady?
Well, this is what we don't know.
I could just hear sister. Is it my God, yes, the wife, right?
Oh, maybe the wife thought, what was that?
Someone said I dream of murdering and then I didn't. And I'm like, I don't think I heard Hannah.
For legal reasons, it's good that you trailed off there. To be honest, we don't want to create too much work for the producer. That's awesome. I dream of murdering. Redacted.
I'm going with the wife now. I'm excited. But why would the wife kill the landlord of the place that her husband was fucking her sister?
Well, because she might have thought... Oh, no, I was going to say she might have thought it was the mistress, but I think she'd recognise her sister. But, you know, maybe the landlady was also her sister, because Guernsey. I mean, sorry, that was very lazy. I'm not proud of that. It was lazy stereotyping.
Drunk women solving crime.
All right. Let's do our patron shout out. Here we go. Jonathan Ferguson, there's no comparison. Sarah McDermott, let me assure you that. Nikki McGrain, you know what I mean. Ian Toll, hey, we're on a roll. Emma, Christine, Aldrich, this is your patron fix. This is your patron fix. This is your patron fix. Patreon.com/drunkwomen solving crime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check us out. Check us out right now. Right now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's frustrating, and we do come across this a lot, is that when we do research, even in cases like this that people have pored over and analyzed, sometimes the women just disappear from the story at some point. So frustratingly, I have no idea what happened with the mistress. Did she testify against him? Did she leave town? I don't know what happened with the wife. They're just like, well, we know what where they stood sexually. Yeah. That's all we need them for, you know?
Yeah, we just don't know if they were okay or if they, yeah.
What? Yeah, what happened to her? What does this slut know? Let's not talk to her. Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. So all these are very good questions because what, is that a reasonable motivation? Is that the easiest way you'd pay off your debts? That you would kill an old woman who's housing your mistress and take some of her things? And the things were very random. It was like, apparently they pulled out a telescope out of a haystack. And they're like, that must have been his. He stashed it in a haystack.
A telescope?
A telescope.
In a haystack?
In a haystack.
Easier to find than a needle, to be fair.
Tee him up. Barnes knocks him out of the park. That's what we do. Well, before I reveal the verdict, legal experts who have examined this case have found that the whole arrest and trial were very flawed, as a lot of cases were at that time. All the evidence was circumstantial. There were no witnesses who could place Tapner at the scene at any time of that day. There's no forensic evidence, obviously, where they could test for DNA. Lots of speculation. And another practice back in the day is that it was the bailiff's job to interrogate a suspect, but that bailiff would then sit on the jury as a totally impartial juror. So there are a lot of...
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, not a very fair trial. There were people that could verify that he was in that part of town during the day. He was seen buying a newspaper, and he was carrying a cane, which a lot of people speculated could have been the weapon, but a lot of people carried canes.
If he had two canes, it could have started the fire.
Do they have maybe it came with the newspaper.
Yes, that was kindling. Oh my God, we have blown this wide open.
I think we have.
Oh, oh my, you know, God. As soon as you said he had a cane, I was like, maybe he's a bit natty. I just quite like him now. I know he might have murdered several women and had loads of
them. I mean, you've seen that cane, sort of silver-topped, sort of tap dancing cane,
yeah,
aren't you?
He's living in Guernsey.
It's always whimsical, never a weapon. Yeah. No, it's the Monopoly Man. Oh, it's great. Look, we'll never really know. We'll never know, but it's fun to speculate. By all accounts, it was an unfair trial. There's no conclusive evidence. But what do you think the verdict was in 1854?
Hang him.
Oh, wow. Ooh. You went right for the sentence.
I think around that time, it probably would have been pretty much... If the bailiff's on the jury and he's convinced, then...
They still have capital punishment here, is that right? I thought it was. But, like, I agree with you. I think that, yeah.
Okay.
But he is a white man.
So fuck it, burn him.
No, but what I mean is he might have got away with it by virtue of... But that's everyone on Guernsey. Yeah. So.
He was found guilty and he was sentenced to hanging.
Oh.
Very, very good. And one of my sources was literally called executedtoday.com. It's not a joke. That is a real website. And it was one of the better sources. But
what is it for like going on your birthday? Going like, oh,
what was number one on the day I was born and who was hanged?
Yeah. Yay. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah. There are a few reasons why this case is so well known, so famous. One of those reasons is because a certain writer got involved, a writer who is very much against the death penalty, Angela
Victor
Burns.
Victor Hugo, because you guys never fucking mention him, do you?
It was Victor Hugo.
That was really half-assed. Yay. More people are like, I leave my house open at night. Victor Hugo, I guess.
I have to say, even though I've been here before, you never know how well-known anything is. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're really immersed in the culture. So I wrote this days ago, and I was like, I'll give a hint that it's a French writer. I bet that, I was getting smacked in the face by Victor Hugo statues today, like, everywhere. This street's called Victor Hugo. This one's called Hugo Victor. Like, everything. mine. So I was like, I think they're going to get this one. Okay. But look, okay, for the listeners, though, because we have listeners all around the world, so I will just say, Victor Hugo, of course, wrote Les Miserables and the Netflix series Emily in Paris. He's a really versatile, really, really prolific writer.
Do you remember there was a, you two might be too young, there was a cartoon called Victor and Hugo.
I'm your age, you doofus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Hannah's too young. Yeah, but you're American.
She's no, little.
A cartoon called Victor and Hugo. And it was two little guys called Victor and Hugo. Have I dreamt that? Does anyone else remember that? Yeah. Victor and Hugo. Yeah. Anyway. Did they live here? Because then I'd be impressed.
Oh, I like that idea. Could do it with any writer too, like Charles and Dickens. Can't think of any writers.
Literally, like, I was like, who is that?
Hannah.
She's taken Charles Dickens.
Judy Blume. No. Okay. So yeah. Oh wow. Hugo gets involved. He was living on Jersey. Boo. At the time. It's amazing. You guys both make great butter. Let's call the whole thing off.
Don't tell them Jersey makes great butter. We want to get out of here, not in a wicker, man.
Murdered by Waitrose. So, yeah, he was living at Jersey and came over to fight for this case because he was very much against the death penalty. And he tried to get a sentence downgraded to imprisonment. How do you think he went about that?
Do you know who I am? No. I was going to try and say that in French, and they realised my French is not good enough.
I can do like, I am Hannah, which is, no, that's my name, je m'appelle Hannah. That's not the same thing. Je m'appelle, is that right?
Yeah.
Guys, set your faces to stun.
But I thought bonjour. You I thought your attempt was, I am Hannah. Did you understand that?
So sorry, how did Victor Hugo...
Yeah, how did he try to derail this case and downgrade it to imprisonment? Ooh. Which must have been a much better option in the 1850s.
Well, I don't know. We've seen what happens when you get imprisoned here. You get sent to the castle and given a garden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, my gosh. Just planting sage for the rest of my life. Yeah. Okay. No, you're right.
Did he do, like, just the way you really get things done these days is a petition. So, was it a petition?
It was a bloody petition.
Oh, yes! Wow. I've never got one right. This is amazing.
You have.
Thank you. No, this is a big night, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, he pulled a change.org, 19th century style. Now, he sent it off to the Home Secretary. I can't pull that off. Home Secretary. And as we know, home secretaries are always merciful, empathic people. So he wrote a long, eloquent letter. You can read the whole thing. It's just Victor Hugo style. It's beautiful. It is begging for a musical. Like, it is just a
and
beautiful letter.
And he got a
letter.
Cartoon. What shame.
And he got a cartoon
just say,
and said, yeah.
Bring him home.
Dear Lord Palmerston, we beg you for mercy. We got a situation on the island of Guernsey.
I don't know. I also feel like Taylor has never seen Les Mis.
It's really jaunty, right?
2, 4, 6, 0, 1. Da, da, da,
da. I dreamed a dream of love come by. Sing it with me.
I'm imagining you with a cane. It's very nice.
But you were gone in autumn. Shazam. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Now we... did you just say now we know why he's carrying the cane?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure, you know, because I couldn't
oh, yeah,
see.
Sorry.
And then I just had the horrible feeling. I'm just going to do a joke. That, oh, dear, it's a mess.
Oh, you are a man I'm in a writer's room.
don't worry, darling. I've got this.
Yeah. What's the other song? Now I just want to sing them all really happy.
How long do you think Les Mis is?
I know, one day more. That's what you're thinking.
One day more.
That one.
One day more, yeah.
Another day, another destiny.
I got to do the jazz version. Yeah.
I don't know how to tell you this. I'm pretty sure he didn't write the musical.
I know.
Oh, shit, yes.
I know.
He wrote the book, which is part of writing a musical.
All right, Mrs. Fact Factorson. Detective Facts.
It was Susan Boyle who wrote the musical, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I dreamed. I've got a little Susan Boyle story.
Go on.
It was quite sweet. I was staying in a hotel in Glasgow, and I got in the lift, and she was in the lift. I sort of said hello, and I went to my room to get something, got back in the lift, and she was still in it. and they said she just sort of rides the lift.
Oh!
Just to sort of say hello to people.
That's lush!
It was so sweet.
That's really nice!
Yeah, so sometimes she sort of goes up there just to kind of say hi.
Did she not sing like elevator music? That'd be amazing elevator music. Susan Boyle.
Oh. Yeah. Do you guys not find that incredibly creepy? Are we all really going sweet. To sit and pretend it's really sweet? She's playing the long game, I don't know, for something sinister. I dreamed a dream of... This is my real singing voice. It's the last thing you'll hear. No, it's fine. It's probably... Okay, so do you think his efforts resulted in anything? Did they dial this sentence back? Did it do any good?
I'm going to say yes, because I think it would have drawn attention to...
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, yeah.
He is the Marcus Rashford of his day.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do feel like...
He did feed the children, literally, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it feels like celebrities getting involved. And I imagine celebrities in those days were like, he would be well known enough that people would go, we should do what he says.
He definitely had influence, for sure, but the answer is not really. From the sounds of it, so the Home Secretary was Lord Palmerston, and it sounds like he basically put the word cunt in Viscount. And that's how you write a joke that's both highbrow and very lowbrow. But he did manage to get the hanging done in a less conspicuous place, which was, I had to write this down, St. James Street next to the prison. Is that literally where we are right now? What's great for the listeners is everyone's pointing in a different direction. It's right there. It's somewhere in the vicinity. Wow. Yeah, well, it was St. Peterport. Pretty wild. And he also got them to agree that they wouldn't, as was customary, parade him around Game of Thrones style, shame, and have a huge crowd there. But Guernsey, you can't be stopped. If you want to see a hanging, you will make your way there. So how many people do you think snuck in and gathered to watch this?
Oh, so... Gosh, how many people in Guernsey? So what, 62,000 people live here now? 1850s?
Sure.
Oh, I read a thing.
Is that all? Just 62,000 of you? Wow.
So maybe half that at the time. So I reckon a good 5,000 people rocked up. Ooh.
So if we're saying that it's what, there's 62,000 now, so 31,000 at the time, and you're saying out of 31,000, 5,000.
I mean, they didn't have Netflix, Hannah.
Well, no, I'm literally thinking like 32,000.
It,
okay.
It was 200, and I shouldn't have asked the question. It turns into The Price is Right when I do. There's like 8 million people. No, it's 200, which is a lot if there should be zero.
That's about like the amount of people in the room.
It's like this, crowd. Let's reenact it right now. How's the rigging in here? No. Okay, I will tell you now, I guess this is the equivalent of a trigger warning, which you shouldn't give an audience because you can't leave. The hanging did not go well.
Oh.
So to ask you, why do you think it went badly?
Did he not die? Because that's pretty much the worst case scenario if you're a hanging that doesn't go well.
Yeah. Did they like hang him by his foot by mistake? He was just there for like 2 weeks, looking like a pillock. Maybe it's that.
I'm so embarrassed.
He died of embarrassment.
I've done that a few times. There's a few reasons. The main one is that there wasn't an executioner because there just weren't that many hangings, so they had to just go find someone.
Did they miscalculate his weight?
I wish they'd do that for me. I'd love that. And they're hanging, they'd be like, oh, she's very slight.
But I mean, that's kind of nice. Like, it was so safe here that you didn't have an executioner. You should put that on the tourism posters, you know? Yeah.
So who did they get?
Well, they got a guy whose qualifications were, I'm willing to do it.
Okay. But not too keen.
Not too keen, because that just looks weird. So there are certain things that need to go right for a hanging to be, you know, more humane, if you can call it that. The main thing is the length of the rope.
Yeah.
If it's too short, the neck won't break. If it's too long, the head can pop off. Or more but comedically, they just land on the ground and they run off, and that's okay.
I say that at that point, the head pops off. It's not going to bother you that much.
Yeah,
I would. At least you're dead. Yeah, of the two options. So the rope was too short. So what the crowd witnessed, and kind of deserved, because if you're showing up to a hanging that you're not even invited to, that's worse than crashing a wedding, isn't it? He was still alive. And what they saw is, because he was kind of level with the trap door, he clawed his way back on. Is this too much detail? They're like, oh, no.
Is it bad that I'm like really Team John now?
No, it's
really. He can do it.
Come on, John.
I mean, it's just morbidly
because we did a case once about this woman. It was in Scotland, and she'd been hung, and then she was put in a coffin. She was on her way to be buried, and they heard a knocking on the coffin. Yeah, right. And it hadn't snapped her neck.
And that woman is Susan Boyle.
But
I've been riding this lift for 7 years.
But what they
yeah, it was not an exact science.
But what they did with her is they said that her punishment was to be hung, and she was hung, and so they just let her go free.
Yeah, they had done it.
Yeah.
They had done it.
Which, imagine if they hadn't. They were like, girl, come on. Get back up there.
Well, what? Okay, your next question. So he's, you know, and you can pick, you know, they've got the sack over the head, and he's trying to claw his way up. How do you think the guy who was now wishing he hadn't volunteered for this job dealt with this setback?
Oh, my God. Is this going to be like one of those awful situations, like when you run something over and you just got to finish it off? Like, it's, you know, like...
Anyone that hasn't heard the podcast, we came for a night of comedy. Like, did he just beat him to death with the cane? Was that it?
But did he just sort of stamp on his fingers so he had to let go?
Well, he basically kicked him back down. And then he jumped onto his body and hugged it to weigh it down.
Oh, my Christ.
And it took him 10 minutes to die. Guernsey, that's all we've got for tonight. So thanks so much for coming out. This has been a podcast. There's lots.
I had an uncle that used to hug like that. Sometimes 15 minutes. Anyway.
So, yeah, okay. So horrific. Horrific murder. Horrific execution. But something did come of this. What do you think that something was?
Well, they checked the rope length from then on.
More careful with the rope. There was a musical made. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure capital punishment still exists in Guernsey. But did they stop capital punishment here? They were like, there's no way this works.
They did. John Charles Tapner was the last man to be hanged in Guernsey, but he wasn't the last man who was hung. Am I right, fellas? Hey-o, and we're back. But it should be said that your favorite dude, Victor Hugo, wrote another letter. And he's like, hey, you know how you ignored me the first time? Would you like to hear a detailed account of how this execution went? And so many people were finally horrified enough that, a lot of change happened.
So that's why we know so much, is because he wrote these letters.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
But what I suppose we crucially don't know is whether he was guilty.
What we don't know, and we don't always ask the crowd, but I'm curious, do you think he was guilty, Guernsey?
an ancestor at the back. Yeah. We talk about it every fucking Christmas. He was. He did it. Yeah.
Oh, so I guess all that's left to say about this case is to Sarnia. Yeah. Cheers. Oh, thanks, guys. It was a real journey. It was a real journey there. Now, there is one final part of the podcast, and that is where we ask for an audience member to come up and tell us their own crime story, which we will then solve. I mean, will we solve it? I don't know. We won't make
it. No, we will stay here until we solve it.
Nobody leaves the room. So does anyone have a pressing crime tale that they would like to share with us? We really aren't leaving until someone comes up.
So. Oh, over here. Yes, come on up. Yeah. Give her a round of applause.
Yay. There we go.
So this was a few years ago, but anyway, it was in year seven, and we had...
How young are you?
I feel so old.
Oh no!
Okay, I didn't want to embarrass you.
Oh yeah, it's all right, I'll just get my Zimmer frame.
Oh, sorry. No.
I do love you guys. I do love you guys.
Oh no, and now she knows the word Viscount.
Okay, so I was in year seven. And so we had reading time. So everyone, as part of reading time, would get out their iPads. We'd all play.
How young are you? Right?
Hey, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
Sorry.
It's not her fault.
So we get on Minecraft, and there'd be a few classes of us. It was all year seven English.
Okay.
Period six on the Friday, last period, okay?
And see, nothing has changed. That's exactly. What's beautiful. It was just a more high-tech version of what we did.
So we were playing Minecraft. I volunteered my world up. And
Wait.
This world.
When I was a teenager, that meant something quite different.
I mean, I could cope with Harry Potter. What the fuck is going on?
Is that something you do in Minecraft? You give your world up? Is this about losing your virginity? Right, I'm so confused.
So you get it so other people can join, sure.
Okay.
I haven't played this in a while.
Okay.
But anyway, so I gave it up and somehow arson was committed.
Arson?
In the game?
It was set on fire.
You can set stuff on fire in Minecraft?
Yeah. I learned after that you can't trust anyone in year seven.
No. Frankly, I'm appalled that this kind of behavior would happen on the
but
aisle.
But the problem is, who's the culprit? Because there's three classes.
Three classes.
Oh.
Give us your top three suspects.
Okay, and so use their full names.
You are about to get to list the name of some children that are real.
Name and shame the motherfuckers.
We will be breaking into their house.
I can tell you there were two people whose parents are in the room.
Okay.
So there's two people who there wasn't because that day there was also a breakup over Minecraft.
Oh.
Yeah. There was a lot of drama that day. But there was someone who was looking over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been that person. They could have seen my secret entry into my house.
Okay.
Again, in my day.
Yeah.
That meant something. Okay, so
I'm really biting my tongue.
I mean, I'm probably shouldn't have said that. Bearing in mind I was probably 11 at that time. There was a secret entry into my house.
I'm not saying that the schools here are a lot nicer than where I grew up, but we had actual arson.
So basically you build a world on Minecraft
and you
invite your friends in. Well, are they your friends? During,
who knows?
During quiet reading time.
Yeah.
Love it. And then within Minecraft you can break up with people.
Yeah.
Or was it a real relationship?
It was a real relationship.
I mean, year seven real relationship. I wrote in my diary, I wrote in my diary, me and Sam are going out, but I'm not sure it's going to work because he's a different class to me, which meant like 7A. Like, he was like... Okay, so it's all kicking off.
Yeah.
And you said you had a suspect.
Yeah.
Who was that? You don't
well,
have to
there was another person that I didn't like.
Oh.
I won't name names.
Somebody looking over your shoulder, somebody you didn't like, or was it the ghost of John Charles Tapner? It's almost too easy. What do you think, guys? I've never had a virtual crime.
I say, I think we need to get the virtual police onto
virtual butt stuff.
Also, can I ask how old you are?
I am 18.
It's only because like the prize for coming up is a bottle of Prosecco. Oh shit! Like if you look, I mean, take it home to your mum and dad and say. So what do we think, guys? What do we think?
I am out of my depth. I don't understand. My godson had to explain to me what Minecraft was, and it blew me away that my godson would watch other people playing Minecraft on YouTube, right? And I was like, why aren't you just playing the game? And then I came home, I go, it's so weird what kids do today. They like, instead of playing the game, they watch other people do it. And my husband went, it's pornography. Same principles apply. Just watch someone who's better at it than you doing it. Oh, now I get it, yeah.
But then you can throw it back the other way. Was the real crime that was committed the fact we were deceiving our teacher?
No, never.
Oh, I love it, a teacher in the audience.
Yeah,
actually. Stop. She has been called Mrs. Christmas Tree since, just because of the general dress that she wore every single day. No. Things that look like baubles on it.
I love that. I love that, like, your like nickname for your teacher is Mrs. Christmas Tree. Ours was like the twat. Yeah. That's so nice.
I suspect.
Hey, some of them are in the audience. I've seen them.
Some of your teachers.
Ex-teachers, yeah.
Oh, it's such a small island. I love it. Love it. But the first time you see like a teacher in a club when you're old enough is just like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. Yeah. It's like...
Isn't it? It's hard when you see... Oh, why am I talking about this? Just when you see somebody out of context and you just can't place them. Like, I just had the most awkward moment on the tube and it just went on forever. We're like, hi. How are you? And I'm like, oh God, we definitely know each other. And he finally just had to go, I'm your dentist. I was like, I knew you'd been in my mouth, but I was so confused. But back to your issue. I feel like this breakup had something to do with it. Would it be possible to misunderstand who had shared their world and think that, you know, I mean, it's a metaphor, isn't it? I shared my world with you. Sharing your world, wow. And now you've broken my heart. I'm going to burn your world down.
Actually, this is the sort of modern day version of what happened here in 1850 then, isn't it? If there's a love tanglement and a fire.
Ooh. It all comes full circle.
Ooh.
I'm doing the podcast faces. Did the couple, did either of the people have a sister?
I don't think so.
You've taken it too far, George. The case is closed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was like the youngest crime in terms of like Minecraft. That was great.
I feel like I was really great. Mean, but I just feel so fucking old.
You know, I used to watch my brothers play video games, though, so I feel like at least now there's more action going, because I would literally sit there and watch, like, Pong, which is one pixel. Like,
yes!
Yeah, for hours! Yeah. For fucking hours!
I did that, but, like, with Tomb Raider. So my brother would be like, oh, no, I'd be like, can I have a go? And he'd be like, no, you're really helping, but just by watching. And I'd be like, okay. And then he'd be like, actually, I need some alone time with Lara Croft. Can you fuck off? But anyway, I don't know what was happening there. But,
Oh, a bit of Frogger. Good times. Angela,
Hello. We
have just enough time to ask you, what else have you got coming up that you can tell us about?
Ooh, well, I will be going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which I am having nightmares about because I can't write a show. It'll be fine.
It will be fine.
I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe, and then I will be going on tour from... possibly September time. I mean, everything at the moment, everyone just, everything you say, they go, hopefully.
I know, it's like me and my wedding.
Yeah. But hopefully that'll happen. But I've also got a podcast because, you know, you have to. Mine's called We Are History, and it's a history podcast that I do with John O'Farrell. And it's our little strap, like, we read the history books so you don't have to, but then we're really silly about them. Like, it's not a... You might learn some shit by accident, but it's a fun podcast. And we're going to do some live shows of that in the autumn, hopefully.
Oh, great. So,
yeah. So maybe we can come here.
Now we have told you or taught you what a podcast is.
Yeah. Angela wants to do the Guernsey hat trick. Yeah. I love it. Oh,
we do have an episode about the Nazi occupation of the Channel Islands, so that's you can listen to that. We have an episode about that.
People are like, should we cheer? Should we not cheer? You're Nazis. Oh, hey.
But we did that. So the first time I came here was 2 years ago, February 2020. Okay. Just before I came here with Mark Steele. I don't know if any of you were at that show. And I came with Mark Steele, and it was just as coronavirus, like the week before or something, the whole coronavirus thing. And I got on the plane, I was next to Mark Steele, and he's like, I've just got back from Rimini. I was going, because obviously Italy at that time.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it was a bit, yeah.
Were you patient zero in Guernsey?
I think we might have been, yeah. Sorry, guys, our bad.
Oh, anyway, guys, that's all we've got time for, so.
God. Yeah, remember when we were like, Italy is handling this so badly. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Angela Barnes,
for
being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys, so much. I think we're the first podcast who have recorded here, so that's really exciting. Thank you.
I mean, only cheer if it actually recorded. We don't know yet, but...
If you want to check out the podcast, you can go to drunkwomensolvingcrime.com. And if you didn't like us, just go home quietly to your unlocked houses. And I'm just kidding. Thank you so much. We love you. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yeah, thank
you. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod. And on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hosting us, and thank you for listening.